All right, gang, back at it with more Future Proof. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. Glad to have you here. Hope you're doing well. We got a good show for you this week. We're going to talk all things metaverse with our guest. He is Glenn Friedman. Glenn is the CEO of Prager Metis. That's a global CPA firm headquartered in New York. They made headlines earlier this year by becoming one of the first accounting firms to set up shop in the metaverse. And we're going to talk with Glenn about all of that here in just a minute, find out a little bit more about their experiences. First, let's start here, shall we? This week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors. Unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, the metaverse. Kind of loosely defined as a new iteration of the internet, in so many words. It's a virtual world, basically, kind of running in parallel to the real physical world. You can create a virtual avatar of yourself and interact with the avatars of other folks from anywhere throughout the world, all kind of gathered in a virtual space to do almost anything. Business, learning, networking, entertainment, commerce, all this stuff can potentially happen in this virtual space known as the metaverse. So, here's my question, actually. I've got a few questions about the metaverse. And let's start by going back about 15 years or so. Okay, a virtual world at that time called Second Life was all the rage. Remember Second Life? It's still around, actually, these days, calling itself an inclusive haven of self-expression, whatever that means. But back in 2007, 2008, everyone was wondering, what is this virtual world? And what does it mean for what we're doing here in our real world? And a Maryland accounting firm known as KWG&F decided to find out. The firm is known as Katz Abosch today, but they created back then what they believe was the first CPA firm in Second Life. Their IT director at the time was a guy named Byron Patrick, who would go on to chair the Maryland Association of CPAs Board of Directors. But at the time, Byron said, quote, "We realized there's a real economy growing in Second Life, and every good economy needs CPAs, right? So we figured we needed to be there too," which is pretty solid reasoning, right? And the team at the MACPA, my employer, we started paying attention to what they were doing there and everything that was going on in that virtual space. And, we provide a lot of CPE and other training and education for CPAs. And we thought Second Life had a lot of potential to provide that type of training and education to a wider audience in a virtual space. So we went ahead and we set up shop in Second Life. In fact, we created what we called CPA Island. And this virtual island included space not only for our association, but also for training and for young professionals, for educators, other accounting firms and organizations that wanted to get started in the virtual space. It was really designed to be a foothold for the profession in the virtual world. And so we did all of that back about 14, 15 years ago with mixed results, right? The potential was huge, no doubt about it. If everything's working right, I don't think anyone would deny that virtual worlds like Second Life had the potential to bring people together from throughout the world to do some really interesting and innovative things. And like I said, some of it worked really well. We actually did provide CPE qualifying events in Second Life. We held networking events and educational sessions, staff meetings, all of that in this virtual space. But the experience, it was clunky, to put it kindly. It wasn't a real user-friendly experience. It was hard to get started if you didn't know what you were doing. There were a lot of technology-related issues. The experience of being in that virtual world was lacking in a lot of ways. And I think we thought that maybe the technology hadn't kind of caught up with the idea and the potential. And I think we said to ourselves, if you give this thing another decade or two, it could really be a game-changing experience. So CPA Island kind of faded away, and Second Life did too, although like I said, it's still around. And here we are 15 years later with the metaverse. And I got to tell you, you know, I look at screenshots and demos of some of the things that are going on today in the metaverse. And my first thought is this looks exactly like Second Life did 15 years ago. I mean, exactly like Second Life. And I think to myself, where's the progress? How is any of this different from what we were doing 15 years ago? And is it any better than the virtual and remote learning and networking that's happening right now via platforms like Zoom and Teams? I don't know. I'm not being snarky or anything like that. I'm actually legitimately curious about this stuff. So I wanted to find out more about what's going on. There's been a ton of press surrounding the metaverse lately, particularly with you know, Mark Zuckerberg's interest and investment in it. And accounting firms are jumping right back in, just like they did with Second Life back in the day. This is from Accounting Today. They write, quote, a recent poll from Big Four firm PwC found that 67% of executives are actively engaged in metaverse projects, and a further 20% report they are looking into it. There seems to be a great deal of optimism around the metaverse as well. The poll found 82% believe it will become, quote, business as usual, either next year or within the next 2 or 3 years. This is despite the fact that, according to the poll, only about 9% of the executives currently use any of the existing environments, end quote. So, still, much like they were in Second Life, life in the metaverse, it's relatively quiet right now. Not a whole lot going on there. Not really a lot anyway to do with business, at least not yet. But those who are there, they see the potential in areas like client collaboration, business demos of conceptual spaces, and for things like recruiting and training. And we saw all of that potential in Second Life as well. So, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see where all this goes from here. And that's why I'm really happy to welcome my guest this week, Glenn Friedman, CEO of Prager Metis. They've set up shop in the metaverse and are doing some really interesting things there. And so we sat down recently and talked about what Prager Metis is doing in the metaverse these days, the reception they're receiving from clients so far, some of the challenges and opportunities that they see, and what the future looks like to them in terms of, you know, virtual accounting and finance. So great talk, really interesting conversation with someone whose sights are set firmly on the future of the profession. Here is my conversation this week with Glenn Friedman.
Glenn, thanks for joining me today. Let's start with this really simply for the uninitiated, I guess, among us. What is the metaverse? Just kind of briefly describe what we're talking about here.
Well, I mean, the metaverse is what I describe as sort of the internet on steroids. It has a ways to go, but it's, I believe, the future, and our firm believes is the future. I look at it as currently we're on Zoom, and we're looking at each other in little square boxes. There's a lack of, let's call it, an intimacy, but in the metaverse, you'll be able to have that intimacy. You'll be able to be in the same room, even though you're not in the same room. I think technology has a ways to go, but I think that there are a lot of people that are working on solving those issues.
Yeah. So why is your firm there? I mean, why did you think it was important to kind of get a foothold in this space?
Well, first of all, our firm tends to be a little bit innovative. I do believe that we have some vision, and we also have clients that when you think about the origins or the beginnings of the metaverse or what industries are attracted to the metaverse in the early stages, you would think about the entertainment sector, and we have entertainment clients. So whether it's entertainment wearables, if you will, or concerts, there was an opening and opportunity for those folks, and those folks have, you know, asked us about the metaverse. And when your client's asking you for advice, you would like to believe that we could learn something before we give advice. So I would say that was the impetus to push us towards the metaverse.
Yeah, this is a really interesting concept. I mean, you know, so right now you and I are on a Zoom call. I'm looking at you. You're in your home. I'm in a hotel room in Baltimore, kind of separate physical spaces, but we're talking to each other. The metaverse, I'm kind of gathering here, it's an opportunity for us to kind of interact in a virtual world in which it would look like we are both occupying the same physical space. Am I kind of correct? Is that kind of in the ballpark here? So in other words, you're interacting with people in kind of a virtual world here, and everyone's virtually kind of occupying the same space, right?
I do believe that's true. And as you, as let's say the Oculus or technology comes together with software, mm-hmm. and the quality is better, I think that anybody's that has put on a headset can understand what it's like to actually think that you're in the game, let's say, or mm-hmm. in the, with the other person. I think that there are some drawbacks currently. I'm not sure how long you can keep one of those things on, but I think that as the equipment gets better, it's not going to be putting on this thing that just completely engulfs the top part of your face. But if you put one on, you feel like you're in it, right? And whether it's in a game and gaming, and let's go to that a little bit. The metaverse started with gaming. But, you know, when you think back to the internet and what that started with, it was gaming. It was some probably illicit type things that people were doing, but it didn't start in business. And I think that you'll see an evolution towards business. I think you are seeing it. I think when you think of some of the companies, we've moved from entertainment to other areas of our business. Some very well-known brands, sneakers, you know, anything that you can find in the real world, you can find in the virtual world. So whether it's a real estate broker, you know, or an accountant, or a designer, or an architect, there are those folks that are working in the metaverse.
So here's what I found interesting. Your press release about all of this kind of says that your firm will be offering real world services that are critical to the metaverse world. So what would some of those services be? I guess I'm looking for an idea of how like a real world CPA firm services mm-hmm. would be critical in this virtual space.
So if you think of us as a real world firm, right? Whatever that is, a traditional firm. And let's say we move away from the advisory service area, which clearly we're giving advice on the metaverse. But if you move away from being an advisor towards the bread and butter of an accounting firm, which would be tax and a test work, compliance type work, planning, okay, what you see is you see folks that are incubators, folks that are starting companies, folks that are trading in transactions, folks that are investing, folks that have potentially gains and losses that they may or may not be aware of, sales tax issues. You have all kinds of international issues. There are no borders in the metaverse, right? So right. People working with people all over the world. Okay, it's not just a U.S. tax issue. It could be a U.S. tax issue, South African tax issue, right? Swiss tax issue. It could be a multitude of those countries because often people are working with people across the world. And so a tax accounting firm that has a global presence is important in that world. So we're solving a lot. We're doing a lot of pre-planning. For companies that are starting up, where we're doing a lot of planning for companies that didn't do pre-planning. But some of it could be domestic, just U.S. Some of it is, where's the best place for my company to exist? Mm-hmm. It can't exist in the metaverse, right? Everybody has to understand that the metaverse is an extension of us. It's an extension of society, right? So as much as people want to think that rules don't apply, they very much apply. Mm-hmm. And if you address them today, some governing authority is going to ask you to address them in the future.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I mean, tell me, you know, in a nutshell, how has it been going so far? What, your reaction, reaction from clients, how has this endeavor helped you guys out at this point?
So from a firm, basic firm standpoint, as far as new business, it's been very successful. Mm-hmm. From and exciting, right? You know, we're learning. I do believe the only way to really learn this is to be in it. It's one thing to say you're doing it; it's another thing to be doing it.
Right.
And to be meeting the people. The metaverse is a community right now. Maybe in the future it'll be so big that the community will be very large, but it is very much a community, and to know the players and know the people that are involved and to really have a stake in it, it's very important to be there. And so that's why we entered it. And so for us in the real world and the virtual world, it's been a branding opportunity. It's been an opportunity for people to take us seriously. And has it led to other work? It certainly led to business in the crypto space. Mm-hmm. You can't, sort of operate in the metaverse and not have spillover into crypto. So I would say that we're a leader in both tax and a test in those spaces. We're getting referrals from other accounting firms mm-hmm. that up to the challenge and the task. And I'm talking about small firms. And some of the big four firms, they can't be as nimble as a small firm and occupy this space. So it's been, frankly, very exciting for us. Also, I don't know if you can talk about age, but I tend to be a little bit older than most of the people in the metaverse.
Right.
And for me, for where I sit in my career, that's very exciting. And they're also extremely intelligent, capable people. So all across the board, from an individual standpoint to a firm standpoint, I don't walk into a room today without somebody, if not multiple people, asking me about the metaverse.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That's the space you want to be working in. So I'm curious. You mentioned crypto transactions that are happening there. Are they all taking place via crypto? I mean, what's happening in a monetary kind of transaction idea in this space?
Well, it's not all crypto, mm-hmm. but I guess probably, I don't have the statistics on it, but probably the majority of it is crypto.
Okay.
Clearly, so crypto, when you think about it, it has volatility.
Right.
And we just went through not a great up or time with crypto.
Right.
But like all investments, I think you have to look at crypto more like an investment than an asset, than a currency, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it'll be back. It'll rise and fall again and rise.
Right. But
people do hold crypto. You have to set up a wallet, right? We try to help people set up a wallet. I mean, the firm has sort of made this part of our DNA. And so what we hope is that everybody in the firm can direct somebody to our chief metaverse officer who can assist in those transactions and setting up wallets and explaining the taxation. And security is a big concern, as you know. And so we try to give some real world advice to people that want to get into the metaverse and hold crypto and trade crypto, and even land is pegged to crypto. So, when you think about crypto going down, obviously land has fallen as well, but it'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. I you mentioned a few of the challenges that you've been facing so far. What's been the biggest challenge so far for your firm in terms of getting this up and running?
People. Mm-hmm. It's always challenge, right? Even though everybody thinks it's a metaverse and it's virtual and there are avatars, it's still all about people,
right?
And finding good, capable, qualified people that really know and understand the metaverse is not easy. And then sort of educating people that do exist on our team takes a great deal of resource and time.
It's really interesting, isn't it? that no matter what we're talking about here, whether it's something brand new like what you and I are talking about, or just kind of foundational things, that one of the biggest challenges always seems to come back to people at this point in time. That just seems to be the common denominator in all of this stuff.
It is people. It's people. We're a service business. We need good people, and yeah. We need a culture and an environment. And so it's people. That's our biggest challenge. Time is a big challenge as well. We're getting so many inquiries and so much opportunity that just keeping up with it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's I'm sorry to say that you really do have to sort of separate the ideas, if you will. People come at you with a lot of ideas, and I'm sure we're going to get some wrong, but you do have to decide what you think is something that's going to be the future and a profitable going concern, and those things that, you know, you don't really believe are where you want to put your time.
Well, that's all part of, you know, building the bridge as you cross it, which I think is kind of what you guys are doing right now, right? It's you're playing on the edge, and nobody's really done what you're doing, and so this is all brand new, and you're learning as you go.
Completely learning as we go. In fact, that's the other exciting thing. Every day I get on a phone call with somebody, and I hear something that I didn't know or I didn't think of, or some great potential opportunity. And I think that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it's very exciting to be on the edge of so much brilliance every day.
Yeah, that's great. So here's a quick question. So we, the Maryland Association of CPAs, which is where I work, we played around a few years ago with Second Life, kind of an early days virtual world, with kind of the same type of vision, right? We're a learning organization in large part, and we wanted to experiment a little bit with the idea of providing learning in this virtual online environment. Mixed results. Ultimately, I don't think the technology or our members were really ready for prime time at that point. What's different here about what you're doing? Why do you think the metaverse might succeed in a way that something like Second Life didn't?
Well, first, technology is advanced, right? And look, I read the same things you read, and if you believe that technology is advancing, you know, exponentially over time, then it's going to advance quicker and quicker every day that goes by. So, right. And I do believe that that's true. And then when you think about the players that are banking on this, that are coming into this space, you know, I don't think Facebook changed their name in the past. And, you know, I know that Mark comes under a lot of criticism for what he's doing with his company, at least recently, but that sort of goes with the territory. I think he's ultimately, that's an interesting thing. I think he's going to succeed. I hope he succeeds. But look, I mean, he's changed the name to Meta. That tells you something, right? When you have Google getting behind this and Microsoft getting behind this, it's hard to believe that it's going to fail. Look, I'm sure that they fail. There are times they fail. But there are times that maybe somebody like Zuckerberg says, if I don't do this, Facebook is out of business. So you know, this might be he might have no other choice. But at the same time, he can put a lot of money, a lot of intellect, and I think he'll succeed. So I think that's what it has behind it that it didn't have in the past. Also, crypto probably wasn't where it is today, right? Yeah. So I think when you put those two things together, and then you put some countries that are doing crypto and more to come, I think that the landscape has changed dramatically. You can't sit here and believe that the future is going to look like the past.
Right. That's a very good point. And speaking of this whole idea of crypto, so this was something else that I thought was interesting in your press release. You say your virtual firm is located in Decentraland, which is kind of a virtual world whose software runs on Ethereum. And I'm kind of curious how, if at all, how blockchain technology plays in all of this. Is there a blockchain notion to what you're doing? And is there something deeper at play here that people need to be paying attention to from a blockchain notion?
So if we go back to the fact that we're accountants and auditors, right, at the heart, blockchain has to hit your radar, right? Mm-hmm. And smart contracts. And so you got to be thinking about where it is today and where it's going to be in the future. And I will tell you that where it is today is not what I would say ready for prime commercial use.
Right.
Just when you think about what it takes to do an accounting for a wallet, which could have various cryptos in it with many transactions, smart contract or not, there's a lot that has to go into accounting for the gains and losses of those currencies. You know, it's kind of like when wirehouses didn't give you gains and loss schedules, and you had to go back in an old-fashioned book and look at what somebody might have bought something for. So it's really it's pretty labor-intensive right now. Mm-hmm. So I would say today, blockchain hasn't exactly brought to my world what it promises to bring to my world. I'd say in the future, anything's possible, and the technology will get better. The blockchains will be stronger. Is it ready for things like putting a car title on, which you read about recently? Yeah, I think it can handle those things easily, right? But many crypto transactions, I don't think it's there yet.
Right.
How far out is that? For sure, in 10 years, this whole thing is different. What it looks like in 5 years, I'm not sure, because I really don't know enough about how quickly software and technology advances.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, just the pace with which things are advancing means that things are going to look exponentially different in a very short period of time. Which I guess kind of leads to my next question. I mean, to what extent do you think that the lines between the real world and virtual worlds, like the one in which you're operating, are being blurred these days, or are they being blurred? What do you think about that?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, there are real things being sold in the virtual world, right? Mm-hmm. Being linked to NFTs, and there are virtual things being sold in the real world.
Mm-hmm. So NFTs, for instance.
Yeah. I would say that they're blurred. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not sure whether blurred is the right word, but I prefer to look at this as an expansion of the world. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that as an organization, you look for new marketplaces. And if you're not, you should be. Right. Everybody looks to increase their market share. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a geography or a demographic, that's what your job is to do. So the metaverse is a geography and a demographic, and it's just a new place to expand your market. And so I think that's what's happened, and we've expanded into that area. And whether you call it, you know, Hawaii 2, it's just another place, but it exists in the virtual world. And I think that the transactions, both virtual and real, are happening sort of cross border. It's like New Jersey and New York.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Other firms out there that are kind of curious about getting started down this path? Where should they start? What do you think some logical first steps would be for folks who want to, you know, experiment a little bit here?
Well, first they need somebody to champion it, right? You can't dabble in it.
Right.
You know, you really do need to go all in. So I would try to look for somebody in the organization that really has a passion for this. I would say that you need a tax and an audit person if we're talking about accounting. An advisory person would be terrific too. I would suggest that you decide on a city to be in, a virtual city, and you get involved in that city, and you start to become known amongst the community. And
just like you would in the real world, right?
I mean, yep, just like you would in the real world. That's right. And also you start with your client base, because look, we set up a digital group, and our digital group, we first thought was going to be just handling digital type clients, like mining clients or exchanges, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, what we realized was our partners were calling our digital group because their clients were starting to wonder either what could they do in this space or already were doing some of these things in the space. And if nothing else, maybe they were holding some crypto. And so I don't think any firm is going to be able to ignore this in the future.
Yeah.
When it appears on a balance sheet, oh, gee, my client has all of this crypto. But what are they going to do when an estate has virtual digital artwork in it, right? How are they going to value it? And I don't think anybody's going to be able to not touch this. So I think my advice to every firm out there, the future's now.
And just to, I mean, you know, I think, and to your point, look, it may not be, you know, Decentraland or the metaverse or whatever, but I think it's the mindset that's important here, right? I mean, we need to kind of embrace this notion that things are moving in a direction that includes AR or some type of virtual component, and we need to get comfortable with that if we're going to remain relevant going forward.
I think that's true. And I think it's a big opportunity for firms, a big opportunity. It's an expansion of your marketplace.
Yep.
People shouldn't be afraid of it. You know, I used to hear 5 years ago, I mean, I know that there's an initiative on blockchain auditing, right, by the AICPA, and I applaud that. But I used to hear how it was going to put us all out of business. You know? Well, the Tax Simplification Act of like whatever, 1987 or something, was going to put us out of business too. But every tax act I've ever seen has only created more business. Mm-hmm. So we believe that the metaverse is an opportunity to create more business for us.
It's really interesting, isn't it? How no matter what kind of advances take place, that accounting and finance is right there at the heart of it. And, you know, there's always going to be a need for that type of service, right? I mean, no matter what we're talking about.
I think so. I really do.
Which kind of leads me, I guess, to my last question here is I'm you know, given the pace of technology advancing, like we talked about, it might still be early days with stuff like this. I guess I'm kind of curious what you think the CPA firm of the future looks like to you as you're thinking about this stuff. What do you think a firm like yours is going to look like 5, 10, 15 years down the road?
Well, I've been saying for 10 years, maybe more, 20 years, compliance is going away. And so I'm not a really great predictor of what the future looks like, because I'm still saying compliance is going away and it's still here. Right. So, you know, in my career, I'm getting down to the wire here. So, what do I think the firm of the future looks like? Well, first of all, there's a lot going on in our profession, right? So I do believe that the firm of the future is going to be much better funded, if you will. There'll be much more capital available for firms in the future. Because obviously we work from a partnership model or a sole practitioner model today. I don't think that that's a very efficient model. And I think because of it, we've left ourselves wide open to outside investment. Now, we could all debate whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's going to change the landscape. I think that the firm of the future will be certainly, it already has divested or grown into many other things, from wealth management to insurance and risk management and technology. I think that there'll just be more of that. I think that the firm of the future won't be all CPAs, and we'll have many disciplines, and we'll be
seeing
more.
We're seeing some of that
organization.
Already, right?
Yeah. It's certainly happened already, and I think you're just going to see an acceleration of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you put together the people in college that are shrinking, that are studying accounting, with the fact that the retirement age CPAs are expanding, it's only natural to think that the firm of the future will be relying on many other disciplines to deliver, and many other types of people to deliver the services we deliver. And I think it's exciting, frankly. But I would say this, that for a guy like myself, the firm of the future will be much more complicated and require more talents than I probably have today to manage.
Which kind of points to the importance of what? Lifelong learning, I guess. Beyond just CPE, it's a devotion to just continually learning new skills in order to stay relevant.
I think it is. And, you know, to the credit of our profession, I think that accountants do learn throughout their life. Mm-hmm. I just had a conversation today with our employee benefit plan group, right, about hiring non-accountants, you know, because think about it. It's a lot of data analysis. Said, let's start looking. We certainly have a shortage of people in our profession. I said, let's start looking at economics folks. And so, exactly. Why not, right? If you can train them to look at data, I think that it's all changing our profession, and it's a great, exciting time. Also, yeah. There will be a major consolidation. You can't have thousands and thousands of 70-year-old accounts out there and not expect some sort of consolidation. I do, and I've said this, and I know people think I'm probably out of my league here or something, but I think there's a little bit of a crisis in the country, because I think that what's happening is that the pricing is starting to rise. And my concern is those startup companies, how and where are they going to find, good, competent people to help them grow their companies. Mm-hmm. At an affordable price. And I think that is a big concern, as you don't see people going into universities and things. So I think the answer is technology once again. And I think that we need to develop technologies that don't rely on, and we talked about this, the people to the extent they do now. Yeah. A lot of what we do has to be taken over by technology to bring down the cost.
Yeah. Yeah. And free us up to be doing that other value added stuff. Right.
Yep. I agree.
Well, it's going to be, without a doubt, it's going to be interesting. And I'm glad that there are folks like you out there kind of pushing the edge of the envelope and investigating this stuff for the rest of us. So Glenn, thank you for all that. And thanks for being here and for your insights. I really appreciate it.
Bill, I really appreciate this. And I hesitate to do this. I'm not going to give out my phone number or anything, but if there's anybody that wants to talk about this and how I can assist them or help them or give them some advice, I'm always happy to do it. We work in a wonderful profession.
Yeah, based on relationships. And that's yep. What it all comes down to. So that's a very good point. Glenn, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Great talk there with Glenn Friedman, CEO of global accounting firm, Prager Metis. You can learn more by visiting PragerMetis.com. Lots more insights and answers to your questions about the metaverse in terms of what it means for this profession. You'll find all that in the show notes this week, so be sure to check out that as well. And finally, don't forget, this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. We're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's all I got, gang. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.